welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 193 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. We hope you had a great week. This is Lisa, and this week we're going to do something a little bit different. For the last couple of months, we have been doing a live show that airs on the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Walt Disney World time. Our live show gives us an opportunity to interact directly with our Disney Nerds friends and family. This week's show is audio from our money-saving tips doing Disney World on a budget show that we did about 4 to 5 weeks ago. It was a show lots of people enjoyed online, and we hope you enjoy it here on our podcast. If you enjoyed this audio and haven't had the opportunity to check out our live show, head on over to Facebook, to the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page, like our page, and you'll get our notification every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast live show, Tuesday night. Thank you all for joining. Hello, Holly. Thank you for joining. We appreciate it. We're going to chat, just small talk here for a couple of minutes, just so we can get some, let some other people join here. How is everyone doing tonight?
I'm good, Jimmy. How are you tonight?
I am fantastic, and always, I have my partner in crime, Lisa, with me tonight.
Hello, hello.
Hello from Iowa.
Iowa. I was just talking a lot about Iowa as I was teaching my 12-year-old her state capitals.
Cheapest airfare. We definitely will cover some of that as well.
How you doing tonight, Brandy?
Hey, Sophie. Aaron.
Sophie. Aaron. Aaron, how are we doing over there across the pond?
From the UK.
Oh, still temporarily in the United States for the moment. That's outstanding.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Hello, Mike. Thanks for joining. Appreciate it. Give Aaron some love on the board.
Excellent.
So the plan for tonight is to talk about just some different ways, and this came up. Hey, Brandy, Massachusetts. Plan for tonight is to talk about different ways to save money on a Walt Disney World trip. I guess this could also apply to other trips, but we will mainly focus on a trip to Walt Disney World. And this idea actually came from us. Oh, no. Well, you got a few more days, Aaron. Enjoy it. So this idea came to us from somebody who watched the live stream last week and asked the question. So we're going to talk about that. So let's get started. If anybody has any of their own personal ideas on how to save money on a Disney trip, please post in the notes. Hello, Nathaniel. Thank you. Welcome. Come on in. Thanks for joining.
Thank you so much, Nathaniel. Ooh, Mike's going to be in Disney in July. First time in 11 years. A lot has changed in 11 years.
Definitely. Definitely. So, Lisa, I'm going to start with you. What is your number one? Hello, Brooke from Texas. What is your number one? What's the number one way for you to save money on a Disney trip?
So what's my number one? So this question was posed to us by Chris Bain, who was listening last week. And we, we tend to review and watch all of your all of the videos after we post them, because we know that sometimes when we're sitting here and we're watching, all these comments come up on the screen. Often what ends up happening is we end up missing a thing or two. So Chris happened to ask this question. He was looking for advice on how to do Disney on a budget. So how to make some things, how to save some money and make the best out of a trip to Disney World. Because let's be honest, Disney is, without a fraction of a doubt, one of the, you know, it can be incredibly expensive. So
it's not cheap.
It's not cheap. I mean, I think, in my opinion, you get the biggest bang for your buck, and certainly we love Disney World. But
I think it's a premium product at a premium price.
That's probably an excellent way of putting that. An absolutely excellent way of putting that. So I think for starters, Courtney. Hey Courtney, thanks for joining us tonight. I think for starters tonight, whenever you buy a Disney book, one of the first things that they say is when to go. Right. So the biggest thing is when to go. So one of my biggest pieces of advice is go in the right time of year. Because now with this tiered pricing system with tickets, if you're doing single day, for the tiered pricing system, you really kind of want to utilize as much of your money as possible to make it extend for as much as possible. So for me, kind of the times of year that I try to suggest are late August, early September, mid-September. And I think this year is going to be a little bit different depending upon what food and wine looks like. So that's typically one of the best times to go. It's slower. It's the cheapest time to go. And then my second suggestion would be in January on the non-marathon week.
Just about any week other than the marathon weekend. And correct. The marathon weekend is not terrible. It's just one of the worst weekends in January. So I still wouldn't compare it to a prime time. Yeah, Sean's local, so he gets to go anytime he wants. You don't count, Sean. You know, so I think I've been on during marathon week, and you know, it is busy for a January, but you know, it doesn't affect the parks as much as you think it would. A lot of those people are there specifically to run.
Right, so. Right. So it does bring down the amount of people that are sitting in a park.
I would say, so one of my biggest things, and this doesn't necessarily save you money directly, but it saves you time. And when you're in Disney, time is money. You're spending money to be there in the park. So I would say touringplans.com, who, you know, is a sponsor of the Disney Nerds podcast. So just full disclosure there. Those guys are partnered with the Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, and their website, touringplans.com, can literally save you 2 to 3 hours a day and give you that time back to do extra things in the park.
Yes. And you bring up a good point. And I know we had talked about this before. So, you know, Touring Plans gives you the crowd calendars. Those crowd calendars are great. They really, and they're accurate. I know Ellen Testa spent a great amount of time putting together all that data, and it's fairly accurate. And they also actually have specific touring plans. So for example, I'm going to Disney World in November, and my kids want to spend some time at Hollywood Studios on such and such a day. I can literally plug that into his program and say, I'm going to be at Hollywood Studios from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and we want to do these 5 rides or 6 rides or six or 7 attractions. And it'll tell me what's the best one, what are the best ones to fast pass, how long I'm going to be waiting, how long the walk time is between, how much time I'm going to be waiting based on the average data that's coming out. So his touring plans, that is outstanding.
Yeah, and just so you guys know, and I've said it, that Touring Plans is a sponsor of the Disney Nerds podcast. Another cool thing about their website is They have a picture of the view of every hotel room in Walt Disney World. It's like 40,000 rooms or something crazy like that. And they'll even let you, you can go look and pick up the view you want and which room you want. And if you load all your information, they'll even fax over a room request for you 5 days before your trip. So we do have a, you know, like I said, they're a sponsor. We have a discount code for them. So anybody out there that's looking to maybe subscribe to the Touring Plan site, the discount code is 17NERDSDIS. That's 17NERDSDIS. That'll get you 10% off a subscription. A subscription, it's probably getting close for me to renew mine, but it's about $15 for the year. And it's worth it. It gets you full access to the site as well as the Lines app, which will give you the posted wait times for each attraction in the parks, as well as what they estimate to be the actual wait times, which is a lot of times very different than what Disney's posted wait time is. So, again, I think it's not necessarily a direct way to save money, but it saves time and enhances your trip. I guess it could save you money because if you get more into each day, maybe you don't need to do as long of a trip.
No, I think you bring up a really, really good point. So Annette had asked, where do you find these plans? And Jimmy has just said, you're really looking at going to touringplans.com, and it'll give you touring plans. And it gives you, I customize my touring plans, but it gives you options for just adults. It gives you options for traveling with kids. It gives you options for traveling with teens. It gives you all kinds of suggestions. So go to touringplans.com and check that out. It's certainly a time saver. And like Jimmy says, and Sean says, time is money. It absolutely is.
No doubt, especially when in the Walt Disney World.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I tie into time is money, because when you're reading all these books and you're looking at some of the best suggestions that they have out there for how to save money, I live in the Northeast. So for me, to drive to Disney World is 22 hours. To drive to Disney World in the middle of a hurricane is 27, as I found out in October.
It was your fault, though.
Yes, it was my fault. So, but for Jimmy, it's a 10-hour drive. For
Nine and a half, 10 hours.
Our friend Charlotte, it's 8 hours. And I know that Ed does on occasion. He'll drive. It's not something that I would do. And there are six of us that travel. And when there are six of us, we fly down just the same as if we were just going the two of us. Some of the suggestions are, of course, it's much cheaper to drive. So if you have the opportunity to drive and you live close enough and you don't mind making that drive, because to me, it's never really the drive there. It's always the drive home. That's always the rough one.
Yeah, it's definitely way worse driving home than it is driving there. I think the other thing is the more people you have, and the more savings it is to drive, because it doesn't cost you any more to drive with six people than it does with two, as long as you have a car that seats six people. But the plane ticket for six people versus two is dramatically different. So we'll be going in end of October, early November, and it's just me and my wife, so we will fly, because it's not that expensive for two of us to fly. But when it's all four of us, me, my wife, and my two teenage children, man, it's quite expensive to fly. So we'll tend to drive at that point.
Yeah, and I think that's if you're within driving distance, and that really varies for everybody. So some people driving distance is less than 10 hours. For some people, driving distance is less than 24 hours. It really does vary based upon the person. Jimmy, just one more time for everybody. I know we were talking about touringplans.com, and we're getting a few questions here. What is the discount code for the Touring Plan subscription?
17NERDSDIS. So 17NERDSDIS.
So and that's it.
10% off the annual subscription to Touring Plans. Sean brings up an excellent point. A great way to save time and money is to get a travel agent. I myself am the official travel agent of the Disney Nerds podcast and the Disney Nerds group. I agree. It's a great way to save time and money. I save my clients money all the time by just keeping an eye out for discounts that may come out that maybe they weren't aware of or don't want to have to wait around and look for. So I get to do that part for them. So anybody that's interested in getting any quote or booking a trip, you can shoot me a message personally, or just shoot a message to the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page. My Facebook page is Once Upon a Time Travel LLC. You can also shoot me a message there. So I think that's a very, very good point.
Absolutely. Jimmy, any other suggestions that you have?
I am a huge fan of mousesavers.com. I think, and I'll tie that also into if you're planning on, like a lot of people were talking about, they have family that lives in Florida. They're going to go stay with a family member or maybe an offsite hotel that's a little less expensive than staying onsite, which I do not recommend. But if that's your plan, I think undercovertourist.com is a great place to get discounted tickets. It's one of the places that I know from personal experience that is a reputable website that sells discounted Disney tickets. It's not a huge, huge discount, but they are reputable and it is a discount. And from what I understand, if you go through mousesavers.com and use their link to Undercover Tourist, I think they have a little better discount than if you just go directly to the site.
Hey, Jason. Yeah, I agree. And there's always that push and pull with staying on site and staying off site. That's always that big piece. I'll save money if I stay off site. So I did the math at one point because the first time that we went down with the kids, we rented a house and stayed off property. And I thought, wow, I saved so much money because it cost us $1,300. There's no way I was going to spend that much money. And then I did the math on how much it costs to rent the van for the week. And then I did the math on how much it cost when I went grocery shopping. And then I did the math on, so now I'm buying food at the house and I'm also buying food at the parks. So then I did the math on all the add-ons. Like in order for me to add on a grill to the house, it costs an extra X amount a day. And then once I did the math and I started comparing it, I said to myself, and then I've got to pay for parking every day.
So I started,
piecing this all together and I went, oh, it would have been cheaper if I stayed on property.
Yeah. And I think the other part is okay. So then you lose out on extra magic hours, which is more time in the park. It could be up to 3 hours a day extra in the park if you stay on site, which is a big deal. Do the ability to do your fast passes 60 days out instead of having to wait till you're only 30 days out is a big deal. A lot of those great attractions, the really good ones, it's going to be much tougher to find availability once you're 30 days out. I would also say, you know, renting a house is a little bit different, but a lot of those hotels off-site, they don't tell you that they have resort fees.
Resort fees per night.
Per night. So a lot of them will have a $20 or $25 resort fee per night. If you are going to drive, a lot of them charge you for parking. So that's all things you might have to consider. So when you're looking at, hey, I can get a hotel off-site for $70 tonight, but then you got to pay to get in to park at the parks. You got to pay to park at your resort. They're charging you a $25 a night resort fee. You know what? You probably would have done better just staying at one of the All Stars or one of the value resorts, and having that bus that runs, you know, every 15 to 20 minutes. I know a lot of the offsite hotels and resorts have shuttles. But a lot of times those shuttles only run twice a day. And if you miss the shuttle, guess what? You're catching a cab. You'll never have that happen till you stay on property at a Disney resort.
No, you're absolutely right. So I think staying on property is, to me, makes sense, the better value. And I did the math. I did the math for a big family trip once where you're thinking about everybody going down and people were like, no, I'm going to stay off property because it's cheaper. And I I did the math and I said, you know what, if you stay at All-Star Sports,
yeah,
it's actually cheaper. So then that brings into this case, how do you decide where to stay on property? When you go to Disney World, it is all about the experiences that you have in the parks. I will say spend money on a longer trip and stay at a value versus a shorter trip at a moderate or a deluxe. I think, Jim, you probably have a better handle on that. I think that's a recent thing for me. I've always stayed at a moderate versus a deluxe, and just recently started getting into the value resorts, and boy, it for the best bang for my buck. Absolutely. And shame on me, I kind of poo-poo those value resorts, but you know what? They're great. They're actually a great place to stay.
Just every bit as nice really is. I mean, I would say that the pace and the moderates have a few things that are a little bit nicer than the values. I would also say most people don't even, I know when we go, not 90% of the time, we don't take advantage of most of that stuff anyways, because we're in the room to shower and sleep and we wake up and back in the parks. We don't really spend any time in the resort. The All-Star resorts are a lot of fun. I will also give Joanne a shout out because I agree with her. Another great way to save money is, I don't know, here we have Sam's, we don't have BJ's, but if you have a Sam's Club membership, you can buy packs of gift cards, Disney gift cards at Sam's you can buy a pack of $150 worth of gift cards, $350 gift cards for, it's 140, it's like 143. So you save $7 off of every $150. And then I use my cashback credit card at Sam's to purchase them with. So I get cash back on top of that. So that's a great, great way.
And you can do that at Target as well. So if you have a Target Visa or a Target debit card, you actually get 5% off of, and that's what that is. So for $150, you save $7. It's really 5%. You can do the same thing at Target. You save 5% off of, 5% off and buy gift cards. And you can use those gift cards to apply to your room, to put a down payment on your room.
Yeah, for anything. You can pay off the room. I've had clients of mine like literally take pictures and send me like, you know, 20 gift cards that, and I go apply them to their room. But you don't even have to do that. So you get 5% off at Target or Sam's, and then you use your cash back credit card to make the purchase with that. You're getting another 1-2% cash back on. That's 7%. I mean, that's a decent amount. And then another thing you can do is on Disney's gift card site, you can take all those little $50 gift cards and combine them to one card. That'll make it easier for you or your travel agent. I've done it both ways. It's not that big of a deal. I don't mind doing it for clients, but a lot of my clients now, once I tell them about where they can just, as they buy them, they can go combine them onto one card, and then they just give me the one card to apply.
So Courtney brings up an interesting point here. Renting DVC points is another great option.
I'm going to just jump in here and say, I think that is a great option. I will just warn you, when it comes to renting DVC points, make sure you're dealing with a reputable company, one. Number two is you better be darn sure once you book that room that you're going. Because if you cancel for any reason, you don't just lose your deposit. You lose all of your money, every penny. So if you're spending $1,000 on a room, it's not like booking through Disney or booking with an agent that if you're within 30 days, you may lose your $200 deposit. You're going to lose every penny of your money. And there is no vacation insurance for rentals, for DVC rentals.
Right. No, there is not. And you bring up a really good point. Like, I think it's a great way to stay at a deluxe resort. And if you catch it right, I did that. I rented DVC points and I stayed at Saratoga for the race weekend a couple years ago in February. And I didn't hate it. I certainly liked it. But really, You got to stay with a site. You kind of got to stay away from doing that personal, stay away from Craigslist. And I'll say the same thing about buying tickets at a discounted price. If it's too good to be true,
probably is.
It probably is. Yeah. I've heard horror stories about people getting to the front gate of the Magic Kingdom and going to scan to tap their ticket and it not working. Or going to link it to their My Disney Experience and it not working. So kind of stay away from Craigslist or eBay for stuff like that. It's a scary site out there. It's a scary world out there. One more thing about staying on property. My apologies. I'm kind of fighting a cold here. One more thing about that is if you are a camper at all, take advantage of Fort Wilderness. If you are into RVing or you're into camping, those sites, I think a camping site runs as cheap as $50 a night.
I think that's probably for a tent location, not a full hookup.
Not a full hookup, but still, nonetheless, if you're into that, you love camping as a vacation, if you're going to do it anyways, go do it at Disney.
And I would tell you that there's also places that you can rent an RV to stay at Fort Wilderness. we have a friend who has done that. He has a podcast as well, and he's sponsored by RV Place. And you rent the RV, they go set it up. You rent the RV, pay for the spot, and they go set it up, and it's all there and set up for you to go when you get there. So you just basically go check in, and that's a pretty cool idea.
It is a good way to go, and it's.
So we're gonna do tent rounds, Lisa.
Oh, absolutely not! No. It is not. I am not a camper. No. But it is a way. I know.
I would
a lot
do an
of
RV.
People,
I don't think I'd stand a tent.
I'm not even certain I'd RV, but that's just beside the point. I have stayed at Fort Wilderness in the cabins, and those cabins are really nice. And I've had an opportunity to do that, and that was a lot of fun. That was great. I did it when I was 14. It was a great year, a great age to do it, and my parents did a good job. Planning that trip for us. So, but if you're into camping or you like going RVing, I will tell you it's a great way to do Disney at a reasonable price.
What else?
My next big thing, and I talked a little bit about tickets. We talked about staying on property, driving instead of flying, if you have the opportunity to. I think my next big thing is we all know food can be expensive at Disney World. So how do you manage the cost of eating at Disney World?
Well, I'm sure you have your own idea about this, but I think a lot about that is just, being, I agree with Lee. One of the best things about staying on Disney property is Disney transportation. So I think one of the biggest ways to save money on food is, okay, so first of all, I think the dining plan has some merit, and we'll get into that just shortly. But I think the other thing is just to educate yourself. Be in a group, educate yourself, get in a group, ask questions, because there's certain things on property that could probably – I'm thinking like that half chicken at Cosmic Rays.
Cosmic Rays, like, half chicken and rib combo, all over that.
You could share that. I mean, two people could literally share that as a meal. And so it's one of the more expensive things on the menu, but when you consider two people sharing it, it's very, very economical. So things like that, and just educating yourself and in understanding what's a good deal. I agree with Brandy, free dining is great as long as you stayed in a value or maybe even a moderate. It's usually the best. It's usually the best promo there is. And I also agree with Kira, free water cups. So you can walk up to any quick service location, ask them for a cup of ice water, and they will give it to you. And it's filtered ice water. It tastes much better than what you're going to get out of a water fountain.
Yes, it's really good. Ed brings up an interesting point. Ed said stick to counter service restaurants. That's certainly a way to save money. So those table service restaurants, they can be expensive. And the old adage used to be, Well, if you're gonna go experience a counter service, do lunch and not dinner. I actually think now they've gotten smart, and the lunch prices and the dinner prices are kind of the same.
Yeah.
But I will say, if you really, really want to do, because we like doing them as well, if you really want to do that character meal, really look at doing breakfast? It for breakfast.
Yeah, breakfast is usually much cheaper.
Yep, breakfast is going to be the cheapest meal of the day. So absolutely, 100%. And then if you're looking to share a meal, some of the best places are Cosmic Rays. We talked about the chicken and rib combo. Don't forget that Fixin's Bar over at Pecos Bill. You'll be able to get yourself a taco burger and load it up on the Fixin's Bar. You cut that thing in half, and that's a meal for two.
The nachos, same thing.
Yeah, and you get yourself a large lemonade with a cup of water, and that's one meal.
That's a lot. We do that a lot. Me and my wife will do that a lot. One of us will get one soft drink or tea or lemonade or something like that, and then one large water. That way we're not buying two drinks for every meal. Lana brought up a great point, ordering food from Amazon Prime, and you can have it shipped to your resort. I've never personally used Amazon Prime to do it, but I have used Garden Grocer, which is a grocery store down in Orlando. And basically you go on their website, and we always end up getting a cake. Well, me and you did it together, Lisa, mm-hmm. and I've shared it with Ed, too, on trips that, we'll get a couple cases of water sent to the room. We'll get a pack of good granola bars. We'll get, that type of stuff sent to the beer, stuff like that. That's going to cost you a lot of money. Get them, especially if you're flying, you don't have to take that Uber to the grocery or anything. And your room has those, in the morning, I grab a granola bar, a bottle of water. It usually sets me up till lunchtime. So I don't spend any money in the meantime.
So Joe brings up a good point. There's a big salad at Pizza Rizzo's. You can absolutely share that. I've done that. Angela and I split a meal at Pizza Rizzo the last time we were there. These are definitely ways. And you take you're talking $12, $13, maybe $14. I know the chicken and rib combo is like $17. But you split that in two, now you're looking at $7, $8 worth for two people. You're not going to find that anywhere.
I would say another big thing is especially if you have a family of three or four at the food court, at the values, grabbing one large pizza is way less expensive than four individual meals.
There you go.
So, yeah, you grab one large pizza. It's enough food for four people to eat. I mean, for everybody to get a couple of slices of pizza. Let's go back to the dining plan.
Let's go back to the dining plan because that's on the list.
Do you think I don't know that if you did the math, I don't know how much cheaper the counter service dining is. I think it could save you money.
I think when you talk about the dining plan, it's not necessarily about saving you money more than it is about, I know it's paid for.
I think that's a great idea, and I think that's true.
I'm not going to stress out about it. Let's just get our meals and our snacks.
I think that's the thing. I think people want to say, it's more expensive than what I'm going to spend on. And then they go look at the menus and they pick the cheapest thing on every menu and say, see, the math doesn't work out. Well, I think that's one of the advantages of you don't have to have leftover snacks at the end of the trip, though, because you can fill those. You can bring a bunch of Rice Krispie treats. We never have snacks, especially if you go there in Food and Wine. You'll never have a snack left over because you can eat all the snacks. They almost are a meal at the Food and Wine booth. But I think the thing is that when you're on the counter service dining plan and you walk up to that food booth, you're not worried about ordering the cheapest thing because you're not coming out of your pocket. It's already paid for. So rather than getting the cheapest thing on the menu, you know what? Get the rib and chicken combo.
I think again, and I'll restate it. I think it's more about, it's not about the money spent as much as it's about that once you get down there, it's not an expense you have to pay. That to me is more to the point. One of the things, and of course it's right here up on the screen, Lana said we order food from Amazon Prime or Garden Grocer, which is what you and I were talking about. It's not just about water and soda and the other, beer or wine or some of the other things that you can have or you can have delivered to your resort. It is more about, you can also consider breakfast bars, goldfish, snacks, granola bars. Those are the things that help tide you over. So those things really, they mean something in the long run, because those snacks can get pretty expensive. I mean, we like our Dole Whips, we like our churros, we like our popcorn.
Yeah.
We like those things.
You got to get the popcorn bucket.
Right.
So a TIE fighter or a carriage or.
As you start doing this stuff, as you start spending this money, it adds up, and it adds up pretty darn quickly.
Another way, I thought, you know, I don't put myself on a budget. Well, of course I have a budget, but budgeting my kids, and I tell this to some of my clients when they call the book trips, you know, is I take my kids and whatever it be, I buy those gift cards at Sam's or Target or BJ's or wherever. And I give them a budget. Hey, you have $100 for the trip to spend on the whatever little knickknack or shirt or souvenir, whatever you want. This is your $100 on this gift card. And we write their names individually on the front of them. And when your $100 is gone, you're done, because they will nickel and dime you to death. It's always going to be, I want this, I want this, I want that. Well, you got your gift card, you spend it. But when it's done, it's done. And it gives them a little responsibility and a little skin in the game. And when it's coming out of their gift card, that they may say, I want this. Okay, we pull out your gift card. You know what? I don't want it that bad.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got 4 kids, and we did that on our last trip, and we'll certainly do it again on this trip. It gives them a little bit more ownership into having a little financial responsibility as to how much the things cost and whether or not they really want it that bad. And I remember the very first thing my youngest daughter bought was one of those spray bottles. And I thought, really, this is what you want? She still has it. Like, it was what she wanted. This was, you know, 2 years ago, it was what she wanted. While we're on the food kick here for a quick second, a couple of quick things, and I don't know whether or not they're still accurate. I don't know how old, but I do know, I believe Electric Umbrella, Sunshine Seasons, Backlot Express, a lot of these places. They offer free refills on
free
soda.
Free refills. That's a good point.
So if you're a soda drinker, those are the places that you want to go. You want to go to Backlot Express. You want to go to Restaurantosaurus. You want to go to Electric Umbrella. Those places, they give you a cup. You walk over to the soda machine. You are as much as you want, and you'll be good to go. So
yeah, that's a good point.
One other thing, and I actually haven't had any, I haven't gone to Disney Springs and experienced this, but I did go to this restaurant in Vegas and was shocked at the prices. And then when I heard they were the same at downtown, well, at the Disney Springs, I was nearly shocked. There's Earl of Sandwich. If you've been over to Earl of Sandwich, those prices are pretty cheap. And those are big, big sandwiches for what it is that you're looking for. And then if you're really interested in a fairly inexpensive sit down meal, the Plaza Restaurant at Magic Kingdom.
Oh yeah, that's I mean, it's a sit down restaurant almost at counter service pricing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of hot sandwiches and stuff like that. And the downfall to the Plaza is it does have the ice cream from the ice cream parlor. Like, you can order any one of the flavors and stuff. So be prepared to spend a little extra on ice cream.
Awesome, awesome.
I would say most of the, you know, I think about, I guess it was January, Lisa, when we were all there, when the four of us were there together, and we went and eat at Rainforest at,
International Festival of the Arts. Yes, yeah, it was January.
That was January. So I think Rainforest Cafe is a fantastic, and when you're in Animal Kingdom, I think it's a fantastic value. The food's, I think, very good. It's not crazy expensive like most of the Disney stuff.
No, it isn't. Heather, yes, I had the pleasure of experiencing Blaze Pizza the last time I was down. It was so good, and it was an inexpensive meal for us. I actually got more food than I thought I was going to get. I didn't eat everything I got.
I would also say, and I didn't eat there, but we went in. My cousin ate there. Is Deluxe Burger. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not a cheap burger, but it's still for what you get. And it's a cool God. They give you so many fries and all these dipping sauces and stuff. I would say most of the stuff at Disney Springs is much cheaper than the stuff in the parks, right? Wouldn't you say that?
I'd say on average, most of those kiosks over there and everything is pretty, it's pretty reasonably priced compared to what you see in Epcot or Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. So the, my one last category that I had written down, other than some little things here and there, is, Jimmy, when your kids were little and they wanted souvenirs, we've already talked about getting them gift cards and they can spend whatever they want. Souvenirs can cost a ton.
Oh, absolutely.
And I have been frugal enough to be the person that has had the dining plan, had myself a refillable mug, come home and handed that refillable mug to somebody and said, I got this for you. So
that's a great idea, actually.
So one of the first things I have as far as souvenir, anything souvenir related, is take advantage of the refillable mugs at the resorts and the refillable popcorn bins at the parks.
Yep. Even the refillable cups too. Like the, you know, they had the Chewbacca mug. Right now there's a Baby Groot mug. Those are great, especially, you know, for somebody. Like Sam gave me a couple of the Chewbacca mugs, and they're great. I love those things.
Right. I mean, I've got a whole cabinet full of refillable mugs. I think we got rid of a whole bunch of them recently.
Yeah, we do too. Kim uses them for coffee. You know, she uses them every morning to put her coffee in on the way to work. Another big one for me is if you have a car down there, take a ride over to the Vineland Mall to the Character Warehouse, which is the Disney park outlet. You can usually find coffee mugs there for like $5 a piece. A lot of the merchandise there is stuff from previous celebrations or parties. Like if you go after Food and Wine, you're probably going to find Food and Wine merchandise there. If you go after Flower and Garden, you're probably going to find Flower and Garden stuff there. My wife bought a Haunted Mansion. We bought her a Haunted Mansion magic band. It was like $5. A lot of times they have stuff that's still sold in the parks. The chip mug that everybody loves so much, they were still selling it in the parks, but I guess they had so many of them, they put them into the outlet too and were selling them in the outlet for probably half of what they sold them in the parks for. So if you have a car and if you got some time, like maybe your arrival day, you don't plan on going to the parks, take a ride over to the Vineland Mall, and it's on Vineland. There's one on Vineland, and then there's one further into Orlando. From what I understand, the one on Vineland is the better one. It's the bigger one.
So, yeah, this is not something I've actually had the opportunity of experiencing. So
you don't want to. You will spend. Me and Kim went there. We were buying Christmas presents. It was like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
You will spend a bunch of money, I promise you.
I'm good. A couple of quick things in addition to all that. Somebody had mentioned earlier when I was talking about the spray bottles, they're like $25 in the park. You can get them for like $5 online. Same thing, you can order pins online. If you're heading down and you know you're going to do some pin trading, you can get a starter kit online for way cheaper than you can get it in the park. And then you walk around, you can trade some pins and you'll be able to
get the outlet too, by the way.
Yeah. So you're able to do that. That's certainly, significantly cheaper than what you would pay in the park. And then my one last quick thing here is remember the stuff that comes along with your admission. And this kind of takes part in that slowing down and enjoying the parks. Don't forget about Sorcerer's of Magic Kingdom. And don't forget about Kidcot. Don't forget about, what do they have over at Animal Kingdom? The Wilderness Explorers, Agent P's World Showcase Adventure, activities at the pools and at the resorts with the s'mores and the fire and storytelling. All of that is all included in your package. All of that is all part of the Disney experience.
Absolutely.
So, and I know that recently on a podcast, I believe Wheel of Attractions, one of the things that was talked about was that the Pirates Adventure.
Yeah. And that's, we actually have a YouTube video of one of the maps, me, Ed. So if you go to Disney, if you go to YouTube and go to the Disney Nerds podcast, just search the Disney Nerds podcast and go look at our videos. And we have one of the Pirate Adventure. We have some other great YouTube videos.
Hotel tours are free.
Yes, we've
Boardwalk, didn't you?
We did the Boardwalk tour of me and the rest of the crew of the Disney Nerds podcast. That was the first year we had our meetups. We went and did the free Boardwalk tour. There's also one at there's a couple of them, but they're fantastic. A lot of good knowledge, and it doesn't cost a penny.
So a couple of quick things before I do some call outs here. First of all, thanks to Chris for bringing up this question to give us this topic for this week. Certainly doing Disney on a budget, doing Disney and trying to save money. There's a lot going on there. There's a lot of things to cover, and there's so much going on at Disney that you almost can't consider yourself an expert because it changes so much, but we certainly try to provide the best advice humanly possible. So if you have any other questions, please, by all means, throw it in here. If we don't see it, I promise you we will certainly get to it. So Jimmy, when is the next time you'll be at Disney World?
152 days from now.
But who's counting?
What Lisa is alluding to is that the Disney Nerds podcast does have a meetup coming up at the end of, well, at the beginning of November. I will be there at the end of October through the beginning of November. But the meetups will be on November 3rd and November 4th. The first meetup is on November 3rd on Friday at 5 o'clock. Meetup in Canada and Epcot. I'm going to do what's called a half sample-thon, which means we're going to meet up at Canada and we're going to work our way halfway around the world, sampling out different foods and drinks and stuff like that, with the goal of being in the American Adventure for 8 o'clock for the Eat to the Beat concert. We don't know who that artist is going to be yet. That hasn't been announced, but I know I can't wait to, Courtney. Glad you're coming. So if you can join us for that. And then on Saturday, November 4th, will be our second meetup. We haven't worked out all the details yet. I can tell you it will be in the Magic Kingdom. It will be another scavenger hunt. There will be prizes. Who said if no hurricane?
It wasn't me, because it's not my fault.
Yeah. So last year we were supposed to have the half sample-thon, and it got canceled because the parks were closed because of Hurricane Matthew. And that's one of the reasons we pushed it back this year further in October. Last year was the first week of October. This year it'll be the first week of November. So I think it's very, very unlikely that we'll have a hurricane, hopefully. So come join us. It's a lot of fun. We do have Joe's at it, figures. We do have group discounted rooms available for the meetups. So All-Star Sports, Caribbean Beach, and Animal Kingdom Lodge. I can tell you the rates are very, very, very good. I can't, because of the contract with Disney I have, because of the group rates, I can't advertise them. But if you contact me, I'll get you a quote for the room rates. I can tell you last year we did group room rates, and it was cheaper than what the AP rate or the Florida resident rate or any of that ended up being. So definitely reach out if you want to go. I know Sophie's going to be there. I know Courtney's going to be there. I know Joe's going to be there. I know Lisa's going to be there. I know Ed's going to be there. I know Kathy and Adi's going to be there. I know, who am I forgetting? I know Stacy's coming. She lives locally, so she didn't need a room. I know Jennifer's coming. I think Matt and his wife are coming. It's a big deal. It really is. All right, Heather asks, what do you all do at the meetup? Do you spend the whole day in the group or just meet up here and there? I'd like to hear more about it if you have any more information. Heather, what we do is, so we'll be there. We'll all be there during that time. The meetups are very specific. The one on Friday night is going to go from about 5 till about whenever we finish watching Wishes. Illuminations, okay? Not Wishes.
Not Wishes.
So we're going to start at 5 at Canada, We're going to work our way. We'll probably wait around Canada for a little while, make sure everybody that's coming's there. Then we'll start working our way halfway around the world, stopping at all the booths, trying food and drinks and stuff like that. I'm going to watch the 8 o'clock concert and the American Adventure, which is going to be over about 8:30. Hang out. You don't have to stay. It's not required. So we will be hanging out until Illuminations comes on. Then the next day will be the scavenger hunt. Generally, the scavenger hunt, we'll probably meet up around 10:30 in the morning, get everybody together, go over the rules, group people together, and team usually goes from about 11 to 2. Then it ends at 2 o'clock. We grade the scavenger hunt, give out prizes, and then that we take some pictures and stuff, and then that's it. So it's a lot of fun. But no, we're not together. We're not all together all the time. But
we don't like each other that much.
No, I don't like anybody that much. So, but look, we also are all just hanging around throughout the park. So we meet people and hang out with people throughout the whole week. So we've had many people. We're all wearing Disney Nerds podcast shirts. So we'll all be wearing like Disney Nerds podcast t-shirts and stuff. And a lot of people are friends of ours in the group and listen to the podcast or watch the live stream. So we get, you know, we'll get people that want to come hang out and, you know, during other times. So we love that type of stuff. We love to meet new friends and, you know, especially new Disney friends. So Lisa, who's your favorite Disney character?
Goofy. All day, every day.
We're going to talk about Joe anymore.
No. Goofy, my favorite.
Mine is Stitch.
You're right. Yours is Stitch. You've said that to me more than once, and I've always looked at you like, really? So why is my question, as everybody starts rattling off some great characters here?
Because he's Stitch.
That's it? Because he's Stitch?
And I love that movie because it's all about family. And Ohana means family, and family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten. And he dressed like Elvis. And when they put his fingernail on the keyboard and opened his mouth, he played a record.
That soundtrack is probably one of my favorites.
Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride is like a great, great song.
Yeah. It has been an outstanding night talking about how to save a little bit of money or make your money go a little bit further at Disney World. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate you taking your time out of your night and spending it with us. I cannot thank you enough. Check us out at thedisneynerdspodcast.com, where our blog and our podcasts are posted. Follow us at the Disney Nerds Facebook page. Join us at Disney Nerds, all caps, on Facebook. It's our group. Jimmy, for our Instagram and Twitter.
Instagram is at the Disney Nerds Podcast. Twitter's at the Disney Nerds. Make sure you subscribe to the Disney Nerds Podcast on whatever platform you use, whether it be iTunes for Apple or Google Play Music or Stitcher app or TuneIn Radio. If you have an Amazon Alexa, Amazon Echo, we're tough to beat, or you can listen just directly via the website. So.
Absolutely. As always, we really appreciate your time. Really appreciate you listening. We really appreciate you watching. We really appreciate your reading. If you need anything, just reach out to us. Jimmy?
Quaharini?
So long, everybody.
Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people.
Good night, everybody.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the home.